The Jason and Alexis podcast is brought to you by our friends at Sears Imported Autos, serving four generations of happy, returning customers.
Sears Imported Autos is just 10 minutes west of downtown on 394 in Minnetonka. More information at searsimports.com.
Hey, Jace, did I see you drive by my house in a new car?
You sure did there, Goober. I waved to you in your front lawn.
Nice. I didn't know you were getting a new one. Where did you go, Jason?
I went to Sears Imported Autos, and I really wasn't planning on getting a new car. But I went online, I saw a car, I went in there, and Sue, I love Sue, her service was amazing, and it really was one of those examples of customer service makes a difference. And it's not a surprise to me. They've been in business for over 55 years, serving not one, not two, not three, four Lex and Dawn, four generations of happy customers, and now I'm one of them. They were named best of the best for Mercedes for 2018 and 2019. I mean, it is really where, as they say, quality meets affordability. The selection of their certified pre-owned vehicles will help you find like a dream car at the price you want. So if you're going to get a car, Dawn or Lex, Sears Imported Autos. Where are they again, Lex?
Sears Imported Autos is just 10 minutes west of downtown on 394 in Minnetonka.
More information at searsimports.com.
And when you walk into Sears Imported Autos, make sure you say you heard about them from Jace.
Hold on for one more day.
Like so many of you of this generation, I had that on cassette single, and I'm proud of it.
Mm-hmm.
Wilson Phillips. Hold on. I love this song. Jason and Alexis in the morning, the 7 o'clock hour on this Tuesday, February 23rd, 2021. 7:05 is the time if you're brushing your teeth or hair, body hair, whatever you're brushing.
Great job. Good job. Keep stroking your hair.
Good feathering on that chest hair. Looks good.
Ooh, yeah.
I'm Jason Matheson along with Alexis Thompson, Dawn McClain, and he goes by one name and one name only, Kenny. Kenny.
And I don't know if you can hear it, but I'm brushing my beard right now.
Oh,
hot.
You must nice. Have your chin jutted out because it sounds like you
yeah,
might be doing a little Vito Corleone.
Nice.
The Tartaglia family. I'm brushing my beard.
Oh, Dawn.
Applying some oil, too. Don't forget that, Kenny.
Oh, yeah. Oil that beard.
Mm-hmm. Oil that beard up, girl.
Like what? No. Two-stroke oil or 10W-40?
10W-40.
There's all these special beard oils now.
Uh-huh. I have beard.
I used to play that.
Yeah. I have like a beard balm, yeah. We begin this morning with a woman, a toilet, and a bear. Lex?
Oh, can you guys imagine? So this woman, her name is Shannon Stevens. She is spending the weekend in a yurt, okay, Ooh. With her brother and his girlfriend.
Fun.
There's problem. There's problem
yeah.
for one.
Kenny doesn't do.
Yeah, exactly.
And, of course, to go to the bathroom, there's an outhouse. Well, she goes to the outhouse and sits down, and now she has a puncture wound. Down there, it's either a bite or a swipe because she jumped up and screamed. When she looked in the hole of the toilet, she saw a bear's head.
I'm
in
sorry.
The toilet.
I have some audio of her talking about this. You
Let's play that beautiful
yeah.
footage.
Yeah.
Sat down on the toilet seat and something just immediately bit me in the butt.
I'm like, okay, I'm going to open the lid and look. And I take the headlamp and I grab the lid of the toilet seat and I lift it up. And right there, right at the level of the toilet seat, like maybe an inch or two below, is a gigantic bear face looking right back up at me.
It was, felt like just a single, like, puncture. Maybe it wasn't even a bite. Like, it might have been a swipe with his claw, potentially. I mean, I'm definitely going to look down in the hole next time.
Oh, gross. Don't do that. Ick. Oh,
my goodness.
Oh, my God.
Never,
can you
that's
imagine?
The number one rule. The number one rule of outhouses, never look in the hole.
That's true, Kenny, but there Jeez. Could be a bear in there.
No.
Or a
no.
snake. Or oh.
Yeah, a spider.
No. How lazy is this bear? If I'm assuming this was in the winter, right? So he's looking for a place to live. And normally, you know, you got to build your own den to hibernate in. And you're doing some digging and pushing dirt around. And then you got to move in and unpack all your beer boxes.
Yeah.
This guy finds an outhouse and says, yeah, it smells a little weird, but it sure is comfy.
Yeah.
And then he goes,
delicious.
What the hell, lazy bear?
Like, it's like, I'm trying to imagine, because it says there was an access hole that was covered up by rocks.
Oh,
so
right.
there's like a side, you know, it's not like he jumped in from the top.
Right. Oh, no. Yeah, it was easy access to get in there.
Oh, God.
Usually, you know, when we were at Grandma's cabin up in Grand Rapids, when it was time, when the outhouse was full, we just dig another hole and move the house over.
Right.
It wasn't a runoff situation.
Yeah.
The truly dedicated, they just
keep it going. Yeah. Well, I guess they were cooking sausages in an open fire pit, and that's what the bear smelt that and thought, let's go over there.
Looking for the poo-poo? In the picnic basket?
Did you have flashbacks while reading this story about the rat?
A little bit. Yeah, can you imagine if I was on the toilet when that rat came up through the drain?
Oh, no.
You guys.
Still one of the best days ever in that studio.
You were there.
And I'm such a mean friend, because it was screams of terror, and all I could do was laugh, because, again, I'm in the My Talk studio in what is allegedly a soundproof room, and we go to break, and Alexis is like, I'm going to go pee, so she goes to the restroom, which is down the hall, My Talkers, down the hall, with two doors separating
us.
And about a minute later, I heard the scream of terror from Alexis from our soundproof studio, shrill, like just shrieking. And Alexis comes back. Her face is white mixed with red. She's like, I saw a rat! I saw a rat! And it had a moment with you, didn't it, Lex?
Yeah, it did. At you. Well, for conservation, the lights come on when you open the door. And so it was dark, and there's two stalls. There's a big one and a little one. Generally, I go in the big one because it's more space and why not? And that door was open. And right as that light flickered on, I kind of was like, rub my eyes. And there was a wet, soaking rat running around the toilet seat, having a party.
Doing a dance.
It saw me seeing it, and then we just stared at each other it felt like 10 minutes, but I'm sure it was a lot less.
Yeah.
And then that's when I started screaming and running out, and I don't know if it went back down the drain or what, but...
And it was a thick rat, right, Lex?
Oh, it was what, Jace?
A thick rat. It was a big one.
Oh, it was a big one. It was probably so happy to be alive that it made it through the... Through the toilet
plumbing.
System, the pipes and the plumbing, that it was just like, yes, I made it. I didn't drown.
All hunched over and gross. Yeah, that's actually the second time that thing was seen. Jill from across the hall that used to work at KS, she also had a run-in with that rat in that same stall.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ew.
You keep that in mind today, Dawn, as you run to the bathroom during one of the commercial breaks.
Yeah, just stay in your homes and use your safe toilets. I'll risk my life to get here on the road and in the bathroom.
There's a panda commode somewhere in there.
Just bring in a 5-gallon Home Depot bucket.
A child's potty.
Right. Now, we also need to mention, too, this happens often, especially this is at the time they were building the light rail, and they were all, so, we heard from a lot of people who said this happened to
up
them
and
in
down
home,
university, yes, yeah. This was, I mean, this was one in, 20 years we've been here, and no, it's a very clean building, but the construction was scaring the rats, girl.
So.
Yeah. 7:12 is the time. When we come back, Chris Noth speaks out on that reboot of Sex and the City. Plus, Lex and both of us, Lex and I, watched that Woody Allen, episode 1 of that Woody Allen documentary. So we'll talk about that, and then later we'll laugh to... kind of wash off the
Yeah.
Stay with us. Back in a moment. Warning, here comes a cliche, ladies. Your smile is your calling card to the world.
Yeah, even though people can't see our smiles on the radio.
Well, they can sense we're smiling even during your dad jokes, Lex.
Dawn, I don't know if I would categorize that post-joke look as smiling.
Rude!
All jokes aside, your smile is so important, and if you don't like yours for whatever reason, it can be debilitating. It can really affect the quality of your life. And that's why we're so proud to represent Dr. Amy Hughes at Hughes Dental. Dr. Amy has her fantastic virtual smile consults. Here's how it works. You email Dr. Amy with your smile concerns. You can even upload a pic at hughes-dental.com. And Dr. Amy will send you back a private video message detailing an action plan. And here's one of the best things. There's no pressure to buy. She doesn't believe in that stuff. This is your year to change your smile. And yes, here's another cliche, change your life.
And she's the best at cosmetic dentistry. Don't you have a fun nickname for Dr. Amy, Jace?
I sure do. The Yoda of cosmetic dentistry.
Trust her, we do.
Very good Yoda there, Dawn. Contact Dr. Amy and take advantage of her virtual smile consults at hughes-dental.com. And don't forget, Dr. Amy can be your regular dentist too. She's my regular dentist. Again, that's hughes-dental.com. Is he or isn't he? Mr. Big is speaking out. Not my dog. The character. Chris Noth. Is it okay? Tomato, tomato. Is it Noth or Noth? Because both Noth. Is it Chris Noth?
I always say Noth, but I'm not sure now that you say it.
You know what I mean?
I'll look up an interview.
Will you? Yeah. Phil Jones, look that up. That's what we pay you for. No. Because we're talking about the actor from The Good Wife and Alexis's 87th Law and Order.
That's right. And he's in The Equalizer, too.
Oh, that's right, which you love. But anyway, he's speaking out. Somebody's on his Instagram asked him why he wasn't coming back to the Sex and the City reboot because these rumors were out there. And I quote, rumors. He responded basically, things can change and don't always believe the rags, meaning the tabloids, which leads me to believe that this is just a concocted story, that no decision has been made, because let's think of this. The writer's room was just constructed like 2 weeks ago. So it's possible they haven't even come to a concrete decision on this yet. I mean, the writers hired.
Yeah, unless the showrunner has a very clear point of view.
Perhaps the Michael Patrick King, perhaps he and Sarah, the SJP, maybe they've already done, you know, they have big arcs that they've agreed upon. One of the arcs maybe being that the husbands won't play that big of a role, if a role at all. I don't know. But the fact that Chris even responded, which he usually does not, leads me to believe that this might be hogwash.
Gosh, they're genius.
They are.
They know exactly
that's what I thought
what
too.
They're doing.
They're wanting it to be a
put
surprise,
out a little bait.
Maybe. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Will he be back? Maybe, maybe not.
We don't know.
With the Samantha too, I mean, it just keeps it going.
Yeah, brilliant.
So we're ready to go when the reboot finally happens, which, if they're just getting the writers together, might be 2 years.
Unpaid researcher Phil Jones says it's like no, as in no, down, Noth. Kitty. Noth, Chris Noth.
Ah, okay, he so says, you're saying it right, Jace.
Yeah, Chris Noth, okay. 7:21 is the time. Okay. Mentioned it yesterday. On Sunday, HBO debuted the first episode of a docuseries, a limited docuseries called Allen versus Farrow, about Woody Allen and his relationship with Mia Farrow and her children, specifically Dylan, her daughter, which made news in 1992. here's a little bit of the trailer, and Lex watched it. I watched part one. A lot of you did. I saw you on Twitter. We'll discuss on the other side. Take a listen.
This is the story of two of the biggest stars in the world.
The father is Woody Allen, writer, director, actor. The mother is Mia Farrow, his co-star and mother of his three children.
Say hi.
Hi.
My family was really close.
It was an amazing childhood. But no matter what you think you know, it's just the tip of the iceberg.
That's Dylan.
Woody Allen is one of the most prominent American directors.
He was such a cultural figure.
Woody Allen, Mia Farrow, that's the ideal power couple.
Woody gave her everything she could possibly want.
I was over the moon happy. But that's the great regret of my life. I wish I'd never met him.
Lex, your thoughts?
My first thought about this is that it's really well done. They give a nice full picture of how they met. His interest in the kids and kids in general was zilch in the beginning.
Yeah.
And then they, after the years and meeting Dylan and Mia adopting her, he became attached and obsessed with her. And they gave really concrete examples of that, not only from Dylan and the family members, but also friends of the family would come, and they had kids the same age and they would hang out. And that I thought was absolutely like, wow, you saw this happen and thought it was weird at the time too, that she dated one of Mia's older sons and she would hang out with the kids, and she sometimes would go over there without the boyfriend. And she witnessed some of this as well. The cuddling, they go into just some of the weird things. Like, he would sit with her on the stairs and practice sucking his thumb. And
what?
Yeah, it was very odd, and people saw this, and he would say, this comforts her. Then he went to specialists, you know, therapists, and said, yeah, it's not sexual, but they had some weird way of explaining it away. And then they go into Sun Yi at the very end of this first episode. They're releasing, it's four parts, but they've released the first one. The other takeaway, which is kind of just a side note, is Ronan, his name is Satchel.
Yeah. Right.
And so now he's Ronan, but he's interviewed in this as well, and they were very close as kids. It's heartbreaking because you feel the struggle that not only Mia has, but also Dylan, of this is someone they really loved that and still love. This is your father. This was your boyfriend. And that this happened, you know, the regret that Mia has, but also even with Dylan, the struggle of going, wow, he really loved me. And, but not having any other father figure, you just think that that's what normal behavior is. I thought it was great. In a sense of, you know, being really honest and telling the story and how they've put it together, because it's really tragic and terrible.
I will warn folks that it is very triggering. If you are a person like myself who has been molested, it was really difficult to watch. It was really difficult to watch. When they describe his behaviors, the kind of the grooming, the wearing just as underpants and getting in bed with her and spooning her. Putting his head in her lap while she sat at the edge of the bed. You know, he rested his head in her lap. And it was one of the things that Mia caught. But just some of the behaviors, if this is a life experience for you, caution. It was really hard to watch. And what struck me was, because his defense has always been and remains, because he did issue a statement denying all of this. You know, he said this is a highly orchestrated, I'm paraphrasing, highly orchestrated kind of takedown. My feeling is, and it's always in this, I know people lie, But my goodness, this is a lot of people lying. This is a lot of people coordinating their lie. And I don't know what the motive would have been back then. I don't know what the motive was. And again,
John's been telling the same story since 1992.
For the friend that Alexis described, the family friend, and then Mia's friend who witnessed some weird behavior at parties and get-togethers, and then Dylan hearing from her from his sister, and Mia witnessing stuff. I'm telling you, it's just a lot of coordination, and it kind of defies logic.
If this was not a famous director, you know, who everybody loves his work. I mean, well, you know, you might not, but, you know, would he be in jail if it wasn't for that? I mean, people are defending it, and there's all these people who don't believe it, but it's just so sad that there's just Diane a whole Keaton. Group of people who don't write, who don't believe this victim.
Yeah.
Who's been telling the same story, like Alexis said, since 92. It's just so sad to me that he's gotten away with this. And I hope that this documentary makes people question, you know.
Is that the point of the documentary, to pursue legal action?
Don't know. I think it's supposed to be a declarative, kind of definitive statement. You know, the family's done interviews. Dylan did an interview 3 years ago with CBS News. Woody did a rare interview in 92 with 60 Minutes. Yeah. I think this is supposed to be because it's everybody talking. It is Dylan. It's Mia. It's the family friends that Alexis described.
Yeah, a collective of everything.
Yeah. So part
it's also
two.
A cautionary tale, too, in some ways that this can be happening. And even professionals really kind of talked about it in a way that it was with excuses.
Oh, yeah.
Instead of going, yeah, this is what's happening. It's time to get out of there. And Mia, she was also being groomed as well. You know, it was first, I don't like kids. And then it just the slow nozzle of just, and then he was obsessed with Dylan. And he
explained
that behavior
away. Well, I want kids, but I want a girl. I don't want, he went, yes.
Right. A blonde girl.
Yep.
And in some ways, you can feel. A part of me was also like, Mia, why did you stay for that long? And then I thought, you know what? That's, again, I'm victim shaming here, too, because she is a part of this as well, where you
and
know,
it's
she
in
brought
retrospect
these kids
with
in.
All the information whenever
exactly.
none of that
she
had happened
know.
Yet. Yep.
Yep.
She didn't know. And especially at that time, you know, but a part of me did feel that like, whoa, you've got all these kids. What else happened? And then when the Soon Yi Polaroid, this is how it kind of ends. There are some pictures, really disturbing pictures of Soon Yi. And then he says, I'm in love with her and all of this. Then Dylan's first thought was, oh, I'm not alone. Oh.
Yeah.
And when she said that, you just, oh.
Yeah. And that's how it ends.
I know why didn't Frank Sinatra grab this jackass and kick his ass? Come on, man. Because Mia was close to Frank for years and years and years and years after their divorce. You know, and the rumor is that Frank is Ronan's father and maybe a few more of Mia's kids. I blame you, Frank. You should have had this punk beat up at the very least.
Well, I was going to say, Frank probably with his connection. Yeah.
Yeah.
Part two airs Sunday on HBO. We got to take a break. 7:30, we'll be back with Would You Rather. We'll switch gears and laugh a little bit when we come back. Welcome back. Jason and Alexis in the morning. I'm iTalk 1071, everything entertainment. Everything laughter. Let's play some Would You Rather.
It's time to make a choice.
Would you rather?
Jason and Alexis present Would You Rather.
Okay. Money well spent. Let me pull up my $3 app here.
Yes.
It has this company also has another game that we could play sometime.
Ooh.
I'm going to try it out. Yeah. It looks
What's
fun.
It called?
It's called 5 Seconds.
Ooh,
nice
I need
lamps.
More time. I don't even know what it is, but I need more time.
No.
Okay.
No. Mm-mm. Okay. Let's see here. Oh. spend the rest of your life always hot and sweaty? Ugh. Or spend the rest of your life always exhausted?
Ugh. Ew, bring on the hot, sweaty.
Yeah.
Oh, exhausted is the worst.
Actually, I live exhausted.
Yeah.
Don't Would you we, like yeah, a seriously. Different way, guys?
I don't even notice it anymore, unless it's like I haven't had any sleep. Like,
Kenny?
That's why I love fall, winter, and spring so much, because I'm not hot and sweaty like I am from May until October, which is just gross.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So it'd be exhausting.
I'm tired.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll just live by the ocean so I can take a dip once in a while.
I don't like, I've said it before, I don't like being hot and sweaty. I'm temperature sensitive. I do not enjoy that. So I'll be exhausted and kind of just work my way through it.
I'm going to change my answer to hot and sweaty with Alexis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hot and sweaty with Alexis. That's our after show available on YouTube.
Only fans.
Adults only.
Only fans. That's right. That's Alexis's Only Fans show.
Hot and yeah. sweaty with Alexis.
Yeah.
Hot she eats sweaty. Carrot cake in a bikini top.
And we're hooking.
Oh. Crochet.
She,
crochets
yeah. in her granny panties. Yeah.
That's right. That's hot. Bedazzled.
Oh, God, that'd be hysterical. Lex, with your boobies, like, blurred out, wouldn't that be... Oh, my gosh. That would be, like, a spoof video. You just sitting in some giant granny panties. Oh, my God. Anyway, okay.
Hot and sweaty.
Ooh. Uh-huh. Would you rather be thrown naked into a pit of deadly scorpions?
Oh, God.
Or be sent into space without enough oxygen?
Which way is faster, guys?
Exactly. Space, probably.
Probably space.
Hell 2001, here I come.
Yeah. Oh, Kenny, we're pushing off the movie, by the way.
Oh, yeah,
oh, we're pushing. Yes.
Yes.
Because Jason and I will be gone.
Show meeting on the air.
Yeah, sorry.
What?
Yes.
No.
You have a week off.
No.
Yes.
You still want to do
yes.
it?
No.
We'll do it off the air, Lex, because I've got to get this out of my system. Call me after the show today so I can purge myself.
Well, I still haven't watched it yet. I mean, I have. But a
Lex
long time
doesn't
ago,
watch it until Thursday.
Not a fresh,
like,
yeah, Thursday no. night, 10
not
p.m.
a fresh viewing. Right, basically. Touché. Don's already watched it. Like,
yeah.
I've watched
Jason
half.
And I are.
We wait until Thursday at
last
9
minute
p.m.
Nellies.
Yeah. Did we all answer that last one? I'm doing space.
I'll do the
space.
What is the pit of snakes?
Pit of scorpions.
Oh, that's fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow, Dawn. That's fine, girl.
I don't want to.
Says the girl who won't dip her toe in the ocean.
Well, that's water. Oh. This is scorpions.
You might have a chance against a scorpion. Though.
Exactly. I have a fighting chance.
Them. Yeah, if we're in space, we're just donezo.
Mm-hmm. Done. Like, seriously.
Yep.
Okay. Would you rather run into your boss completely drunk or run into your boss completely high?
Oh.
What if...
No, you already have both.
Well, maybe you should skip me on this one.
Dawn.
I'll say hi.
Yeah.
Me too.
Offer some Cheetos, you know.
Yeah,
just
I'm just.
Back.
I'll probably be asleep, so it's fine. Yeah. Kenny, you sure you don't want to answer that one?
Next question.
I hope you're happy with your choice.
This has been Would You Rather.
Oh, we'll just close it up for today. There we go. We like our jobs. It is 7:41. Let's see here. My Talk Listener Rewards for the month of February. Let me tell you about them because I have to. Win a private theater rental at AMC Theater, plus gift cards to Pizza Luce, REI, Caribou the Coffee, and more. Register for these rewards at mytalk1071.com or wherever you buy your records and tapes. Coming up on 7:42 when we come back, it's our good friend Liz. And a little bit later, we have Maria Shaw today, Dawn?
We do, she? Yes.
Look at that. Hold on to your wigs and keys. Psychic Maria Shaw. Then we have another...
stopping by today.
Yeah, my goodness. And Alexis has today's Jump the Shark. What person, place, or thing just sucks today? Alexis will tell you. So, but my point is, don't go anywhere. Back after this.
And now on Jason and Alexis in the Morning, a message from our sponsor. From, like, the 70s or 80s.
No little cinnamon gum freshens breath longer than Big Red.
So kiss a little longer, hold tight a little longer, be close a little longer, longer with Big Red. That Big Red freshness melts right through it. The fresh bite goes on and on, while you chew it, say goodbye.
This has been a Jason and Alexis classic commercial. We now return you to our regularly scheduled mediocre radio show.
That brings back memories right there.
Oh my gosh, I know every word apparently.
Every word of that.
I didn't know. Yes. And I hate Big Red gum.
I do too.
You do?
Oh,
I don't like cinnamon gum. Oh, no,
Dawn, it's another thing. Oh, I can't. Lex, you know this. I can't drink it.
Yeah, you're right.
My 21st birthday, I downed a bottle of Aftershock, which is cinnamon schnapps, and I ate the crystals at the bottom of the bottle. And
well,
since
that's an amateur mistake.
Well, girl, I was 21.
Well, you also don't like Fireball.
I don't either. Ugh, makes me do weird stuff. I hate the taste.
Yeah. Well, anything cinnamon, right, Dawn?
Yeah, anything cinnamon. I don't even really. This is probably going to hurt people's feelings. I don't even really like cinnamon rolls that much.
Okay, now you lost me there. But yeah,
all
sure.
Right, anyway,
you lost me there
for another time.
How dare you? But yeah, sure. How dare you? But yeah. Oh, so good. Oh, put the Cinnabon all over me. Say a 7:48, everybody. Not all over me. That sounded disgusting.
I just imagined you rolled up in a cinnamon bun.
Hey.
It's a beautiful coat on Drag Race.
Thanks, girl.
Cinnabon.
Let's talk to our good friend Liz from Little Brothers Friends of the Elderly. Hello, Liz.
Hi, Jason. How are you?
Good, sweetheart. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine.
Oh, Liz. It's going to be 40 degrees today, Liz. It's shorts and bathing suit season.
That's just what I was thinking.
Get out that bikini, Liz.
Hey, I've never looked good in a bikini, but I would love to try wear one sometime, see what it looks like.
Absolutely. That brings me to this. If you, when you think of a vacation, Liz, are you like an explorer type, or when you think of a vacation, you want to be on a beach in a lawn chair with a margarita? Like, what's your version of a vacation? Like an adventure-y kind of vacation or relaxing on a beach?
Well, actually, I like both of them. But if I were on vacation, I love to explore because I'm so isolated a lot of times. I would love to see the world.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Well, we're starting a new thing, Liz, because we have mined your knowledge and life experience quite enough. So we wanted to offer you to the universe. So
that's nice.
So
great advice.
So our My Talkers can now ask you for life advice if they have a question. And I got an email sent to me on my Facebook page from a woman named Sarah in Lakeville. And Sarah wants to know, and I'm paraphrasing, she said, you're so good at just cutting it, just coming to the point. What is your advice for having difficult conversations?
Well, for me... I always try to be very clear about what they're talking about and what their concern is about. And if it's a difficult conversation where, you know, they might get angry or something with me, I always try to say, well, you know, I don't understand for sure what you're trying to get at, but I would like you to explain it a little better so I can see what's the problem.
I like that approach. That's great advice.
And reading between the lines, because sometimes they're not actually saying what they mean.
Exactly. And so, you know, you don't want to jump in and just try to confront them on something, which I don't think you should do with anybody. I think you should just be a listener and try to understand.
And not also let them know that they're heard, you know?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And that's part of the problem with a lot of people. They really don't think anybody is really listening to them. You know,
no.
And you get so much speech where people are confronting each other, but that isn't what they're trying to do. They really, really want somebody to actually hear them.
Yes.
I've got a spin on that, Liz. I often find myself in the receiving end of people's political opinions, and sometimes it's people I agree with, and sometimes it's not. But either way, I don't want to hear it. And I've often prefaced it with saying, yeah, I don't want to talk about that, but then I get an earful anyway. How do I ever so politely tell them just to shut the hell up?
Okay.
Oh, that works beautifully, doesn't it?
I know, but I don't want, I mean, I'm being funny here, but I don't want to hurt feelings, you know.
Well, I don't either, you know, and... So basically what I'm doing is just trying to say, I hear you, but I don't always agree with you, but, you know, I respect your opinion.
Yeah. Well, because I think that's part of the problem now, and I'm so glad Kenny said that, and I think you'd agree. That is literally the foundation of the problem we're in right now. You just can't disagree. Now, nowadays, the other person is now the enemy. They're monsters. They're evil. You know what I mean?
I know. I mean, it's like you're going to war with everybody you talk to.
Yeah.
So sick.
And I get frustrated with that very much. And I agree, there are some people, no matter what you say to them, they're going to fight you because I often think that they really don't know what they're talking about because, you know, but they just can't stand the thought of somebody else having an idea that's different from theirs.
Well, yeah, I always bring my father-in-law as an example. I have my father-in-law in a bag as a perfect example. I don't agree with 80% of his views politically or otherwise, but I respect the hell out of him and I still love him. I still eat chicken wings with him on Fridays. Now, you know, do I want to quietly put a pillow over his head sometimes? Yes.
Oh, but, absolutely. There are some people I feel the same way about.
Yeah, but I love him. I love him, and I think he's a good man fundamentally. But you know, I do want to throw a chicken wing at him sometimes, but I don't. Yeah. But we just don't have enough of that anymore. We just don't.
Well, you know, my best friend that I talk about all the time is when we get into situations. I will say to her, you know, I don't agree with you, but I respect your right to think what you're thinking. And so we've made a pact that we can agree to disagree and still be good friends.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that.
I like to say, Liz, I respect your right to be wrong.
Oh, that's pretty good, too.
Well, I've been there a lot of times.
Well, Liz, always, always insightful, always a delight. Have a good week, sweetheart. We'll talk to you next Tuesday.
Okay, it's been good to be here. Bye-bye.
Bye, sweetie. There goes Liz, everybody. We love Liz.
Oh, yeah. Hey, if you need some advice from Liz, shoot us an email, tweet us, let us know. We'll ask her next week.
Yeah, we're going to formulate. We'll get a little graphic. We'll get something on the Facebook page eventually, more formal. But yeah, Lex is right. Please email us. Tuesdays with Liz, 7:55. We have, as Alexis said a few minutes ago, we have an hour of friends. Maria Shaw, psychic extraordinaire, will join us. We won't be doing Read Your Sticks this week. It'll be returned next week at its regularly scheduled time after the Dukes of Hazzard. And then a special friend from El Burrito Mercado, Jump the Shark and more. A fun 8 o'clock hour starts after these messages.